the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Welcome, everyone, to today's podcast titled Taxes, Inflation, and Bad Legislation. Now, if you read the headlines, it's saying that the current proposal put forth by the Biden administration is the largest tax increase in history.
It is.
So that's in nominal terms. If you look at it in percentage of the economy, it's in that case only the largest increase in more than 50 years. So it's really not that big, right?
Yeah, it's not that big. Just the biggest in 50 years. And who knows, this could still change a little bit because there's some jockeying around. You have like Joe Manchin has said he's not going for the $3.5 trillion. So this isn't finalized, but this is sort of a compromise on where they've come on some of the tax proposals, because some of them were so extreme they got kicked out because it would damage a lot of family farms and individuals. So what we're going to do today is just going to tell you what it is. This is where the bill is and where it's going to hit and who it hits and what parts of the economy it's going to impact, which we'll discuss on Friday's show. So let's begin with what we are looking at in terms of tax rates. Now, many of you know that prior to President Trump, the top tax rate in this country was 39.6, and then you would add 3.8% Obamacare tax on top of that, or Medicare tax, because once you exceed the Social Security limit, which is like $141,000, you pay a Medicare tax of 1.45, and then you also pay, your employer pays that. If you're self-employed, you pay 2.9, and then there was an Obamacare tax added to it. So just call it 3.8. So if you make $400,000 as an individual or $450,000 as a married couple, you would go to the 39.6% bracket from 37. Now, what they've done is they've dropped those levels. And this is the real key thing, Chris, that we don't have the details yet. Because President Biden has said nobody under 400,000 will pay increases in taxes. Well, what we don't know is the Biden administration going to keep the lower tax rates and the lower levels of which those tax rates kick in this new tax proposal? For example, right now, you do not hit the 37% tax bracket until you make $523,600 as an individual and $628,300 as a married couple. So you can just see here what they're doing is they're not only raising the tax rates up, but they are also lowering the amount in which these higher tax brackets kick in. So obviously, if you take a look at an individual under the proposal, the higher tax rate would kick in at $400,000 versus today at $523,000. And then, as I mentioned, it's not just the 39.6. It's also the Obamacare tax of 3.8. So if you take 39.6 and you take 3.8, the top tax bracket for individuals on the federal side would be 43.4% before you get to state taxes. In addition to that, there is a surtax of 3 percentage points if you are Larry Lotsabucks and make $5 million a year. So if you make $5 million, add 3% to the 43.4%, and the federal tax bracket would go to 46.4 plus any additional taxes that you would pay at the state level.
The other thing that's been getting a lot of press is what they want to do on the corporate tax side. So what is your analysis there, Jim?
They used to be 35, which were the highest in the world. The Trump tax bill lowered tax rates to 21%. Biden proposed raising them to 28%. And the new compromise bill that's coming out would basically drop that to 26.5%. So corporate taxes would also be going up. Now, the other thing they're going to do, and this is why it really is going to hit small businesses. If you are a small business, you probably have a subchapter S corporation. The way a subchapter S corporation works, you take a salary, you pay taxes on your salary, social security taxes, etc. Then any profits left in the company are taxed back to you at your higher marginal tax bracket. Well, a lot of people are saying, well, why don't I just go back to a C corp? Because the C corp taxes are 21. Why do I want to pay 37 plus 3.8? So there was a 20% deduction on qualified business income in subchapter S corporations to sort of equalize the benefits of having a C corporation. Now, the Biden administration would get rid of the 20% deduction on qualified business income. And on top of that, they would add a 3.8% surtax on small business income. So, Chris, at a time that small businesses, a lot of, you know, the shutdowns wiped out over 300,000 businesses, put several million people out of work. And one of the problems that small businesses are having now, because the unemployment benefits are so generous, they're having a hard time getting workers. So a lot of small businesses are being hurt. One of my favorite restaurants here in town, they have 9 restaurants. It's a Japanese restaurant. They're going to be shutting down one day a week because they don't have enough workers. So this would also hit small businesses by removing the qualified business income deduction and adding an additional 3.8% surtax on small business income.
Jim, another thing that you were discussing with our team that could potentially affect small businesses is the stepped up basis in cost. For any of our listeners that may not understand what that is, can you explain that part and how that would impact small business?
Let me just take a little bit of time to explain the significance of that. This came into play prior to Reagan's tax cuts in 1981. A lot of small farms were being lost. You may not realize this, but back prior to 1981, when one spouse died, there was a tax on half of the assets of the estate. So a surviving widow really got hammered because they would end up paying an estate tax on the spouse that passed away. There were capital gains on any assets sold to pay the estate tax. The widow would lose one Social Security check and move into a higher tax bracket. So Reagan came in and raised the exemption from $175,000 to $600,000, got rid of the tax on the first death, and gave us the step up, saying that it's not fair to tax an estate twice. Once on the estate tax, and then tax the heirs a capital gains tax when they had to sell assets to pay the tax. And that was the step up. The Biden administration came in their first proposal, in the first draft of the bill, they would do something called deemed disposition. Let me explain what that means. It means that at death, any assets in the estate that appreciated, that had capital gains, there would be a capital gains tax due at death, whether you sold the assets or not. And then also they would get rid of the stepped up basis in cost. So that would be, you know, if you take a look at raising the estate tax rate to 45, you throw in the higher capital gains tax and the government could basically be taking 70% of a person's estate. Now, right now, the exemption under Trump, which is still in place for this year, is $11.7 million. So most small businesses, small farms, most people wouldn't pay estate taxes because of the exemption. This new bill would drop the exemption from $11.7 million to $5.5 million. Also, it's not just subchapter S that they're going after. They're also going back after corporations. They would raise the corporate tax rate from 21% to 26.5%. Now, Joe Manchin has said he's not. Originally, they proposed raising it to 28. Joe Manchin opposed that. Christine Sinema out of Arizona opposed it. So they compromised at 26.5%. That may even drop back down to 25. So right now, there's this myth that no one making less than $400,000 a year will pay more. But you know, the one thing about corporations, Chris, is what people don't realize: when corporations' expenses go up, what do?
Well, Jim, as we all know, they pass on those costs. They don't pay for it. They end up finding either a loophole or a way to pass that on.
And then the other thing that they're going after is they're going after pension plans. They want to cap the total amount that you can have in a pension to no more than $10 million. So if you've been a good stock picker, you've been investing in stocks and you've done well, they're going to cap it. Anything over that is going to be taxed to the government. And this happens with defined benefit plans. Once you overfund your plan, you hit a 100% tax rate. They are also going after Roth IRAs, the backdoor Roth, which allows you to take things in a, let's say you put money in a pension plan or an IRA where you don't get a tax deduction for it, but you're still allowed the tax deferral. Some individuals will sometimes convert it into a Roth. It's called a backdoor Roth. They would get rid of the backdoor Roth, and then they would cap your pensions at $10 million. Now, that's better than what Obama wanted to do. In the Obama administration, they were proposing a $3 million cap on pensions. So it's something to keep your eye on. There's two elements that were thrown out when they redid this tax bill, trying to push it through. One was they got rid of the stepped-up basis and costs. Obama went after the step-up. He couldn't get it through a Republican Congress. That just got thrown out by a lot of senators and Congress people from the farm states because it would devastate family farms. I mean, you could have, a family farm that is, you know, the land itself is worth millions of dollars, but the farmer could still be losing money on his crops. So it would really destroy a lot of family farms. So they threw that out. But this is the second time under a Democratic president that they've gone after the step up. And the Biden administration went a little bit further with what they call deemed disposition, which would mean that any capital gains that were in the estate at death would be immediately due upon the person's death. So the heirs could be facing not only estate taxes, but they also could be facing capital gains taxes.
So, Jim, as you alluded to earlier, this tax proposal is being billed as one that would not affect anyone under $400,000 per year. So it's largely being said to tax the rich. Many of us have heard that. But Biden is saying he intends to pass one of the biggest middle class tax cuts ever. And he says paid for by making those at the top pay their fair share. What do you see in these details as far as tax cuts for the middle class?
Chris, I don't see him. I mean, he may be talking about the earned income child credit, which is kind of like a transfer payment, which they would increase that. But the other thing about this is, you know, once again, I go back to where they're going to kick in the higher tax bracket from 37 to 39.6. So a lot of this talk about what we don't know is, will they keep the lower tax rates and the lower brackets when they convert to this new tax system? We don't know that. So that's kind of like the devil's in the details. Now, where this has gone from negotiations, and there's still going to be negotiations because they're running into trouble. They've got now, it's not just Manchin and Sinema out of Arizona. There are other people, especially in some of these high tax states like California, New York, and New Jersey, they're saying the governors and the politicians and the Congress, the senators and Congress people in those states are saying, bring back the SALT deduction, the deduction for state income taxes and property taxes, and especially in these high tax, high cost of living states like New York, New Jersey, and California. So you have a lot saying, if you don't get rid of or bring back the SALT, we're not going to vote for this. So there's, you know, I'm giving you the latest version. Now, what I'm hearing and what our political sources, we get tax letters that we subscribe to that keep track of this. The latest thing is it's not going to be $3.5 trillion. They just don't have the votes for that. So it's going to be something less. And we don't know what they're going to be doing on compromising. Like I say, in this latest version, they got rid of the deemed disposition. They got rid of the step up. But what they did in place of that, they dropped the estate tax exemption from 11.7 down to $5.5 million. Now, in the original bill that was proposed at $3.5 trillion, basically, you have a situation where they were going to leave the exemption 11.7 alone because it sunsets. It was passed under the Republicans under a Budget Reconciliation Act, just as the Democrats are trying to pass this under a Budget Reconciliation Act, where you don't need a majority. You just need to, you know, basically 51 votes and you got it. So let me show you where we've gone. Right now, the capital gains rate is 20%, and they were talking about raising it to 39.6. In other words, once you reached a certain level of income, you would no longer get favorable capital gains treatment, or you would no longer get favorable dividend treatment. Right now, it's 26.5. I think it's in the last bill, Manchin said he was up for 25%. So it's probably going to be 25% when they get done with this. The top marginal tax rate, there's been no debate over that, going from 37 to 39.6. So that's a given. You can almost count that one coming through. Corporate tax rates, right now they're 21%. Biden proposed raising them to 28. The compromise is 26.5. And oh, I forgot to mention also, there's a minimum tax that they would impose on companies with foreign income. Right now, the tax on foreign income for U.S. companies is 10.5%. Biden wanted to raise that to 21. The compromise is 16.6%. So one of the things that we're watching rather closely is, you know, and I've mentioned to this that, you know, if you're a master of the universe, just picture your hairy hedge fund, you're on Wall Street, you're a billionaire, you've made billions of dollars in the stock market, in this bull market. The capital gains tax right now is 20, and Biden proposed raising it to, you know, almost 44% once you reach a certain level of income. So what would you be doing if you had these huge capital gains and, you know, next year the capital gains rate more than doubles? You'd probably be selling towards the end of the year. Well, in order to counteract that, the capital gains increase would be effective as of last Monday. So if you were trying to get ahead of the game and say, oh my goodness, capital gains double next year, the market's correcting, I'm going to take my gains right now. Well, if you have those gains, you're going to get hit with the higher tax rates because they made the tax rate retroactive to Monday of last week. There's also a couple other things. They're proposing a tax on stock buybacks and partnerships, and then also a transaction tax on buying stocks, ETFs, and mutual funds. So there's still more taxes to come. This is just the main tax proposals, but the other taxes could be certainly following this with the taxes on security transactions. So in other words, every time you may not pay a commission to buy a stock, but you would pay a transaction fee that would get included in your cost every time you buy or sell something.
Well, Jim, as I mentioned, the title of today's podcast is Taxes, Inflation, and Bad Legislation. We cover the taxes portion. Where does inflation fit into all this?
You know, this is the cruelest tax of all, Chris, and that is, and we discussed this on the show last week when I talked about this, you know, the debate right now is inflation is transitory. We think inflation rates are going up throughout this decade. It's not transitory. And the big difference is, unlike the last time the Fed did QE, where the money stayed on the bank's balance sheet or at the Fed, this time the government is pushing money into the economy. They're cutting you checks. They're giving you money to spend. And then the Fed is simply coming up and printing the money to pay for it. The problem is it's creating inflation. I mean, you just take a look at what's happened to energy. Your gas prices are up a buck. Your meat prices have almost doubled. I mean, I can't believe what's happened to, I love crab legs and I love ribeye steaks. And you go to Costco now, you're paying $24, $25 for a ribeye steak. You're paying almost $25 for a crab leg. So you're seeing it in food. You're seeing it in energy. You're seeing it in car prices. You're seeing it in housing prices. You're seeing it in rent. You're seeing it in medical premiums. If we go by the CPI that used to, before they quit manipulating it, according to John Williams at Shadow Stats, we're at double-digit inflation rates. That's probably what you're seeing. So the problem with, if you know, the poor and the middle class, Chris, if your gas bill went up $20 a week because gas is up $1 a gallon, or your food prices have gone up 30-40%, you can't go to your boss and say, hey, I just had to pay $20 more for gas. I need a $20 increase, or even more that, to cover my increased living expense. So the thing about inflation, it really hits the middle class and poor the hardest. And that's the cruelest tax of all.
Well, Jim, as you admitted, this is going to be an evolving tax proposal, but we're going to discuss this more on this weekend show, talking about the implications. But again, we're talking about one of the largest tax increases in history. If you look at nominal terms, just the face value, dollar value, it is the largest in history. As a percentage of the economy, it's going to be the largest in more than 50 years. So just to put some of these numbers in context, and there's going to be a large number of implications and consequences that come from it, which we'll get into more in this weekend's show.
And we're also going to talk about, you know, a lot of people are hearing about this, you know, the stock market is going through a correction, and that's what we've been telling people. We expect a 10 to 15% correction. But a lot of people are looking at the stock market, and it's up double digits this year. But here's the telling thing. 50% of the S&P gains this year can be explained by just four stocks. And the more money that goes into these S&P index funds, the further it drives the valuation of these high cap stocks, driving more of the return on just a handful of companies. So it's almost a self-reinforcing mechanism. But also on the downside, these stocks will fall the hardest because they carry the biggest weight. So we'll be covering more of this and the economic implications on this weekend show when we talk about tax inflation, bad legislation, part two. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Sheridan and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Planning. We hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.